Let us read now from the Word of God. And we turn to the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, tonight. The prophecy of Jeremiah. And the chapter 39. The chapter 39. And we read all of the chapter. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up, and all the princes of the king of Babylon came in, and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsekim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls. And he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and give them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent. And Nebushashban, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, and committed him unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he would carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord. And thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid, but for I will surely deliver thee. And thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." Amen. Our Father, We ask that thou will bless this reading from Holy Scripture for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us turn to the book of Jeremiah again that we read from earlier. Jeremiah chapter 39, the 39th chapter. And we look at this chapter this evening. But we first of all want to pray and seek the Lord's face together. So let us ask God that he'd speak to our hearts tonight. Our Father, we have given unto thee our praise and worship, our prayers. Now give unto us thy word, as we have given thee our mouth, and thou hast given us thine ear. So now, Lord, give us thy mouth, and we give thee our ear. Speak to our hearts. Our words to thee are feeble and poor, but thy words are pure and mighty. Bless your people, Lord. Bless them and confirm them in their faith, and open the eyes of the blind, and concern sinners, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight about the folly of unbelief, or the blessedness of faith. Which is it? The folly of unbelief or the blessedness of faith. Now, Jeremiah chapter 39, it begins with one man. We read of him in verse 1, Zedekiah, the king of Judah. And it ends with another man. Verse 16, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. It begins with a king, it ends with a eunuch. Two men deliberately brought together in inspiration by the penman of this chapter, Jeremiah. Chronologically, the story of Ebed-Melech is out of place, but theologically, it's in the right place. It's deliberately put here in this place because the prophet is fixing his story here, and he's contrasting to us two very different men. One that manifested the folly of unbelief, and one that manifested the blessedness of faith. He is contrasting Zedekiah the king and Ebed-Melech the eunuch. He is categorizing them. He's putting them into a camp, each that is different. And you and I likewise are thus categorized, because we also belong to one or other of these two categories. We also tonight are in the camp of the folly of unbelief, the folly and stupidity of Zedekiah, or we're in the camp of the wisdom of faith and of belief in God and of obedience to Christ, the camp of Ebed-Melech. In other words, congregation, I am saying to you tonight, you are one or the other. You are Zedekiah, or you are Ebed-Melech. There is no other category. You are either believing or unbelieving. You are either blind and foolish and disobedient, or you are wise and seeing and obeying and believing the gospel. There is no other category. Zedekiah pictures you, or Ebed-Melech portrays you. And it's all summed up at the end there in verse 18. Ebed-Melech is told, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Ebed-Melech is a believer. His trust has been placed in the Lord. He has faith, saving, delivering faith. Faith that saved him in that day. He has relational faith in the Lord. You've put your trust in me, the Lord says to him. You have believed and received the word. This is the camp of Ebed-Melech. But on the other hand, Zedekiah, he did not believe. And he did not trust. Ebed-Melech was saved. He was delivered. Zedekiah perished terribly and miserably, perished in unbelief and total blindness. And I ask you tonight, which one pictures you? Which one pictures you? And so we consider both these men. It is not possible in one sermon to do a character study on either of them, let alone on the both of them. But there are three things that I want to draw out for your consideration about both men. First of all, the same message that they were both familiar with. The same message that they were both familiar with. And then the different attitudes, the different responses that each adopted to that same message. And then finally, we want to look at the corresponding ends of each man that followed that response. So, first of all, then, the same message that they both were familiar with. Now, they're two very different men, of course. One is a king. He's a privileged king. He is of noble descent. He's from a devout and godly King David. He has many privileges. He is a Hebrew by birth. He has the Bible. He has light and spiritual religious privileges, the like of which few on the planet were enjoying at that time. He had all of that in the royal house of David. Ebed-Melech had similar privileges. He was a eunuch in that royal house. He was not a Hebrew by birth, it is true. He is an Ethiopian. But he had similar privileges, though not to the same degree. Both men are different. And we're all different tonight, every one of us, there's no exception. They are together as different as they are in the same city, Jerusalem. They're shut up in troublesome times, a time of Babylonian siege. They're hearing the same message of a much hated and maligned prophet, Jeremiah. They're hearing that same message from that man of God. One isn't hearing one thing and the other hearing another thing. That man of God is telling all the people the same thing. They're hearing the same message. Both men knew Jeremiah personally. Both men had access very closely to the prophet. Jeremiah was the man who brought God's word to them. And chapter 38 shows in actual fact how close they were to the prophet, to God's word that he brought. You have it there, for example, in verses 7, chapter 38, and through to verses 13. We haven't time to read it. But Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, he's one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, Jeremiah 38, verse 7. He heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. And Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord, look what they've done to Jeremiah. He could die in there." And then the king gives him liberty to go to Jeremiah and get him out of the deep, dark, damp dungeon and just to put him in the court of the prison. And so verse 11 we read, Ebed-Melech took the men with him and he went and he got old clothes and he lifted up the prophet, so on and so forth. But what we're saying is that man had access to Jeremiah. That man lifted Jeremiah out of the prison. That man could go down to the prison and speak to Jeremiah. He knew Jeremiah. He had access to Jeremiah. He heard the word that Jeremiah brought. And so the king did as well. And chapter 38 tells us that also. Verse 14, it says there, "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me." So here's Zedekiah personally speaking to the prophet, personally interviewing him, personally hearing what he has to say. So chapter 38 tells us both these men had access to the prophet. Both these men were close to the prophet. Both these men had an encounter with the prophet. That's what chapter 38 tells us. They heard what God's word was from Jeremiah's mouth. They both heard it. There's no difference in that. And you tonight, as different as you are in God's house together, shut up in here. And every week you hear the same word. Every week you hear the same message. Every week the gospel is brought to you and the word of God is proclaimed to you. The same message heard by you all. You each have an encounter with the preacher who week by week ministers from this pulpit. And you hear the same things. Well, that's what I'm saying. And both these men, 38, reveals that to be the case. And you know what God's word is, and you know what it calls you to do, to faith in Christ, to repentance, to leave your sins, to submit to Christ's rule, to turn to Him and follow Him. You know what you must do. Everyone in the royal house knew what they must do, from the king to the eunuch. Chapter 38, verses 17 and 18 give a summary of that message. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah unto the king, unto Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. But if you will not go forth, then this city will be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they'll burn it, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand." So the message is, go forth, submit to Babylon's rule, go forth to their princes, and abide and wait God's time. Go forth, and if you go forth, this is the word of God to you, if you go forth, you'll live. But if you will not go forth, if you will be stubborn and resistant, you shall perish. That's the message in a nutshell of what Jeremiah is telling them. And that wasn't a new message either. He'd been saying it often enough and long enough. We read in other chapters, "Unto this people," God says to Jeremiah, "thus shalt thou say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abides in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he that goes out and falls to the Chaldeans, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey, but he shall live. But if you won't go forth, you'll perish." And so that's it. The way of life, the way of death. God has set it before you. Submit to God's word. Continue your rebellion and you'll perish. But submit to God's word and you'll live. Believe, trust, submit, live. Be stubborn, resistant, unbelieving, rebellious, and you'll die. You'll perish. And you, congregation, all gathered here tonight, are not in troublesome times as in Jerusalem, but you know right well this is still a message of life or death to you. Every week is set before you the way of life or the way of death. Choose life. If you rebel, you choose death. And so, trust in Christ and live. Continue in unbelief, perish. That is, in essence, the message. The same message to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian eunuch. But then secondly, I consider with you the different responses to Jeremiah and this message. As I said, both men knew the same word, just as you all do tonight. You're all in the same house, hearing the same word, having the same gospel. But the question is, how do you respond? Do you respond like Zedekiah? Or do you respond like Ebed-Melech? Into what category do you place yourself tonight? The folly of unbelief, or the wisdom and blessedness of faith? Where do you stand tonight? Which camp? Zedekiah's foolishness, his stubbornness, is evident for all to see. Jeremiah had helped him as much as he could, but for whatever reason, the king refused submission to the word. He stubbornly refused to do the right thing. Right to the end, he stubbornly refused. He wouldn't believe. He couldn't trust. He couldn't trust the Lord. Into all his mad career of unbelief, as it is revealed in 1 Kings and Jeremiah, we cannot go tonight. We confine ourselves merely in this chapter to its last stages, the last stages of his stubborn resistance. Because that's what's described here in chapter 39. Zedekiah is in his last hours, but he's still stubborn and resistant to the end. It says there in chapter 39, the city was broken up. The defenses have been breached. The troops of the Babylonians are pouring in. It's the 11th year and the 4th month and the 9th day of the month, and the city is broken up. He's in his last hours. And he's stubbornly resistant to the end, even in his last hours. Not only is the city broken up, but the Babylonians are so confident now of their safety, and as they pour into the city, they're so confident now of their safety that the very princes and the dignitaries, they begin to come in at the gates. And the princes and the dignitaries who normally are way at the back until everything's safe and secure, so confident are they now that the very princes and dignitaries of Babylon are coming into the gate. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 4, it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them and all the men of war, that is his men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city. So that's his response. The victory party of the Babylonians is already beginning to start. And Zedekiah sees them. And we would like to think that now he'd submit. Now he'd believe the word of God. Now he'd go forth to the king of Babylon and submit himself. There's still hope of mercy. There's still hope that he can go forth. He sees them gathering. Surely now he knows it's all up with him. His last hours. Surely now he'll believe. Surely now he'll go out there trusting in the Lord. But no. No. The Holy Spirit paints his response. Because we read there, when they saw these men gathering, they, rather than submit to them, we read they fled, probably by a subterranean tunnel that was under the city that got them outside the walls. They fled Five things are said, and the Holy Spirit is painting their stubbornness to the end, their resistance, their refusal to go forth to the Babylonians. They fled. That's the first thing. Secondly, they went forth out of the city by night. And then thirdly, they went by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls. And then lastly, he went out the way of the plain, down towards Jericho, down towards the Dead Sea. He's gone out and he flees. Stubborn, stubborn, no believing Jeremiah's word to the very end. Resistance to the end. He leaves the city to be burned and destroyed. Neither does he have any care for his own soul, but he doesn't have any care for the souls of the people in the city. He and the men of war, they flee and do the opposite to what God said. He's a wicked man. And so the drama is in detail drawn by the Holy Spirit. And the reason why he gives so much detail is he's telling us this man was utterly resistant to the word of Jeremiah till the very end. The very end. The king thought he could still escape God's sentence. He thought he could escape from what God's word said. He took the fire exit as he thought, but it was not the way, the truth, and the life. How shall we escape? How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? How many are like Zedekiah tonight? You will not trust, you will not believe, you will not go forth to him for your life. You are being foolish and stubborn and resistant. You will not come to him that you might have life. That's Zedekiah's response. And sinner, is that still yours? Stubborn sinner who will not believe, who think that the word perish in the Bible is but made up and make believe, who still thinks that you might escape the flames of hell and the fires of destruction in denying it and in resisting the obedience to the gospel. Ebed-Melech is different. He believes the word. He trusts in the word of the Lord as spoken by Jeremiah. He loves the prophet because the prophet brings him the word of God. He's concerned for the prophet in the dungeon because he knows the prophet has the word of God. He believes the message. He knows the prophet's God, and he trusts in him as much as the prophet trusts in him himself. He is a believer. And the Lord gives Jeremiah a word. As I said, it's chronologically out of place here, I believe, at the end, but it's put here theologically to tell us the comparison and the contrast. The Lord personally gives Jeremiah a word for this Ethiopian, and he says, I will deliver thee in that day. The day's arrived in chapter 39, but before that day, the Lord had come to this Ethiopian and said, look, Ebed-Melech, I'll deliver you in that day. You'll be safe. You'll live. Don't be afraid of all those who are against you and against the prophet. Don't you worry one bit about them. I'll surely deliver you in that day. I'll not allow you to fall by the sword, and you'll have your life. You'll live because you have put your trust in me. He has saving faith, delivering faith. You've put your trust in me, I'll save you. I'll save you, Ebed-Melech. I'll deliver you. He has his faith in the Lord. He is trusting in the Redeemer. He is trusting in the Lord for life. Life. He is a saint, though not of the natural descent of Israel. He has the faith of a Hebrew, though not the DNA. He's a man of God. And he cannot stubbornly flee, of course, outside the royal house and go outside the city, because nobody's allowed to do that. The king says, nobody's going out. But in his heart, Ebed-Melech obeys and submits to the word and trusts in the Savior. Two different responses. Which are you? Into which camp do you belong? Stubborn. Stubborn and resistant still. Unbelieving. Refusing. Neglecting salvation. Are you a saint? And you're just trusting in Christ and depending upon Him for salvation, and you have the hope of life in Jesus. Which is it? The folly of unbelief or the blessing of faith? And then lastly, the corresponding end of each man in accordance with their different attitudes to the Lord and His word. This chapter is about that day that the word, the expression occurs a number of times in verses 16 and 17. The last day for Jerusalem, the day of Jerusalem's destruction, the day when it's broken up, the day when it's burned up with fire. The day Jeremiah had warned about, the coming day, the last day. Well, here it is. Here it is. B.C. 586. Here it is. The day of recompense, the day of divine judgment on the city. And both men have come to that day. And this chapter is about their end on that day. Zedekiah's end is awful, it's terrible, it's fearful. It's described for us in the words of verses 4 through to verses 8. He's caught, he's brought to Riblah, he comes before Nebuchadnezzar the king. Before his very eyes, Nebuchadnezzar slays Zedekiah's sons, the last thing he sees. He slays all the nobles of Judah, but he lets that king live, but he plucks out his eyes and he binds them with chains. And he sees no more, and he'll never see again, and he's blind forever and ever. Because he wouldn't believe. And he resisted to the end. And now he perishes forever and ever in his blind unbelief. It's a sad end. That was the fate of the man who stubbornly resisted the grace of God's word and went on in his wicked ways. This final destruction for those that Jeremiah said would be destroyed by famine, by pestilence, by sword, and by fire. They had been warned, as I said. Zedekiah had personally been warned. One time Jeremiah was before him and he said to the king, Zedekiah, he said, why will you die? Why will you die, Zedekiah? Why will you die and your people by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence? You can end this whole thing. Why will you go on and die? Why will you die? The Lord says to you tonight, why will you die? Why will you go on? Of course, they're saying, Jeremiah is wrong. We won't perish. It's all scare tactics. It's the hate religion of this man, Jeremiah. It's nothing to do with the love of God. Well, men and women, it's all to do with the love of God. Because he's warning you. Why will ye die? But they did die. And he didn't die alone. Many perished. They need not have perished, but they perished by their own stubborn choice to reject the word of God. They refused to believe, to trust, and to submit to that word, and they perished. They refused life and chose death. They dared God to be wrong. They dared the word of God to be wrong. They were prepared to believe Jeremiah was false and making it all up. Zedekiah perished. God had not lied. And chapter 39 proves that Jeremiah's warnings were not lies. That's why chapter 39 is in the Bible. Jeremiah's warnings were all too true. But one man at least believed and heeded. And that man was Ebed-Melech. Are you that man? Are you that man tonight? Is your faith in Christ, hearing the word, responding believingly, exercising relational faith to Jesus Christ, you've put your trust in me? Have you put your trust in him? What must I do to be saved? It's simple. Put your trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and have everlasting life. It's that simple. Believe then. Be in the camp of Ebed-Melech, and not in the camp of those who perished. The vanguard at the head of which crowd is this King Zedekiah. The folly of unbelief, the blessing of faith in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, bless thy word. Comfort and encourage those who believe in Jesus, and those who are negligent and stubborn and rebellious and resistant to thy gospel. Put thy fear in them by means of this chapter, and give them grace to heed the warnings. So work in sinners, and bless the saints. And always and above all these things, magnify thy great and holy name, for Jesus' sake.